Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Curtis Anderton Show. Today is a very special episode. This is going to be the first interview on the show. And I thought it would be appropriate to have the very first interview be an interview with my mom. So today, I'm going to talk to my mom a little bit about her life mission, some relationship advice from a 25 plus year marriage and having four kids. And as well as talk a little bit about her current business, which is a store that she has just opened. So I hope you guys enjoy. So welcome, Mother, to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Curtis.
So this is really fun. To be honest, guys, I'm kind of nervous because this is my first interview in person with somebody. And it's my mom. I don't know why I'm nervous about it, but it's just, yeah. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. So we will jump right in. Mom, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Wow.
I know it's a big question to start off.
I have been married for 30 years. I have four amazing children and two daughters in love and a son-in-law. I won't say son-in-law because that would just sound really weird to him. and two grandsons that will be two and two grandsons on the way. And yeah, so that's my heart and my life. And now we've started a business. And my husband Paul and I have had a home-based business for years. And so now I'm on the journey to starting my business now. So
which is super exciting. So we're gonna get to the business in just a second. But I have a couple of intro questions that I ask every guest, or I guess we'll be asking every guest. And we'll jump right into that. So this question, first off, is my favorite question. It is very important, and I plan to take this information I gather from every episode and every interview and see who's going to be more successful from these two categories. So I'm going to ask this question right now. Mother, are you a buncher or a folder? Now, for those of you guys who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm referring to toilet paper game here. When you go to the bathroom and you grab that toilet paper roll and you pull out your piece, do you bunch that stuff or do you fold it? So, Mom, what are you?
I'm definitely a folder.
Yes, good. Yeah. I'm too. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that. Yeah. We've had this conversation before, and I know you're probably thinking, why the heck are you talking about toilet paper on a podcast? But I think it's a very fun conversation to have with people because everybody does it. And everybody does it differently, but no one ever talks about it. So I encourage you to ask your family and friends this, and you'll be surprised because there are people in my family who do toilet paper game differently, which is really weird because we were taught by the same parents.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Isn't it? Yeah. All right. Anyway, so folder all the way. Moving on here, I talked to you yesterday about getting ready for the podcast and told you the questions I'm going to be asking you. And this question is... what do your friends say is your superpower? And so you texted like five people, or how many people did you text?
Four people.
Four people, and asked them what they thought your superpower was. So I'd love to hear what your friend said is your superpower and how you feel about what they said.
Two said that hospitality is my superpower. Someone else said that my smile and gentleness is my superpower. And somebody else said putting people at ease was my superpower.
Those are very accurate, I feel like. I know you're my mom, so it's just designated you have to say that. But no, I'm just kidding.
Thanks,
so
Kurt.
How do you feel about those responses? Because I know when I did this test or challenge, it was interesting hearing what people had to say about me, and it was frustrating and at the same time encouraging. So like, what did you feel from getting these responses from your friends?
Do you know what, it's funny, I was super encouraged by it, and I think everybody ought to do this, like to hear what, you know, their friends think about them. The hospitality thing is funny. I've had people say that in the past, and I think I'm really hard on myself when it comes to the gift of hospitality. I think because I've had women that I admire and love so much in my life that are so good at it. And so I feel like I'm not that good at it. So to hear people say that that's my strength, it's really interesting. It's really challenged me.
Yeah.
And it's really made me, take a look at what, you know, I'm going into in the season of my life.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a good thing.
That's cool. I got a lot from it. And I totally agree with the hospitality thing. Our whole life growing up, whenever we've had family dinners, my mom's been the kind of person to have like the fancy plates that go under your fancy plates and like name tags and colors and placemats and always have everything that you could need in a dinner or in a family night. So I totally see the hospitality thing. And of course, grandma is like super hospitable too. So yeah. I can tell where that came from, but that's really cool. The whole point of this question is like, for me, when I did this challenge was to see, what my superpower was and how I could relate that to business. And there's obviously tons of ways hospitality can carry over into the business world. So I think that's really cool, as well as it totally correlates with your current business, which we might as well just start talking about that right now. Why don't you tell us about your store that you started, and then kind of share the story of how that came to be and why you decided to do like a store, a consignment store, a clothing store.
It is called Our Closet Boutique, and it started out of, well, the last 2 or 3 years I've been trying to think about what I'm going, you know, what I would be when I grow up, because you know, it's time for me to be grown up. And it just, I was taking courses and things and trying different, you know, things just to see, you know, what did my future would hold. Nothing seemed to come together. And then, just in September of last year, my daughters and I decided to, do a clothing exchange, which we've done often, had friends over and just, you know, everybody brings their clothes and shares them with one another. And at the end of doing that, there's always a ton of clothes left over. And we end up taking them to, you know, Value Village or thrift stores everywhere. And so we decided this year, when we set everything up for it, it just looked like a store. It looked really cool. And we thought, hey, maybe we need to start a store. Maybe we should do this. And so we wrote up a little thing when the ladies showed up for the clothing share and just said, you know, we were thinking of having a store, what do you think, and would you want to leave your clothes with us if we had a store? And they were all super excited and really into it, and so that's what started it. It just kind of came out of the blue. It wasn't something that I've been dreaming up my whole life or anything. It just sort of it just kind of happened, just kind of came together. And every day I come downstairs to my basement where my store is, and it's become this really cool, inspiring space for me. And so that's sort of how it's transpired. And now it's just kind of, waiting to see where it goes from here.
That's awesome. Yeah, this store is such a really cool project that you guys have done. For those of you guys just who haven't been here before, it's this basement suite that they've converted into this beautiful store. There's gorgeous racks with lighting hanging from them and beautiful carpets and just like a comfortable space with coffee and beautiful signs. And you can buy basically just like really nice clothing that you'd find at a Value Village. But the difference is they're handpicked by my mom and sister, so that you know when you come in, you're going to get good quality clothing for a cheap price, as well as you get like a private boutique shopping experience, which I think is so cool. And I just love coming down to visit my parents and hearing laughter and chatter from the store, friends coming in and buying clothes. So if you guys have never been to the boutique, it's mainly a woman's store. You guys should totally go and check it out. It's in Langley, and you can check out what's your Facebook page called?
I think it's Our Closet Boutique Langley.
Okay.
Yeah, specifically because I know there's another Art Closet Boutique on Facebook. So when you're looking it up, it's Art Closet Boutique Langley, I think.
Okay, and then Art Closet Boutique Instagram as well.
Yes.
Okay, so if you're a female who likes to shop, go check out the pages, and you guys can get a really good idea of the quality of clothing that my mom's bringing in and kind of what they've created. So
thanks,
we're actually currently sitting in a part of your store, which is like this cool creative space. Where you have like your little studio set up to take pictures of clothing. We're sitting on a really nice white couch with fancy pillows and a fluffy pink carpet in front of us. So it's been really fun that you guys have the space set up. Now, this is a random question that's come to the top of my head, but what have you learned so far from running this business? Like starting it, what has been challenges or things you weren't expecting? And is there anything that you were really surprised with when it came to opening your own store?
Yeah, I am just on this huge learning curve. There's a lot of it that I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned, first of all, that I am an entrepreneur. For years, I said, you know, dad's the entrepreneur. I'm just the mom and the wife and the support. And, I never saw myself as a self-starting entrepreneur or somebody that could follow through and do something like this. And so, realizing that it takes a community, first of all, and I'm realizing that the support that I have around me, and that when people see what you're putting out, when you take the chance to just start something and let people be a part of it, they feel you, and they they feel that flame. And so I guess that's kind of the thing that I'm just inspired by, just the people that have come through the door to check out the store, and just learning who my person is. Like, that's one thing that learning about with the whole clothing and store and business perspective is who is the person that you are selling to. And I've got this mannequin that we've named Phyllis, and she's a big part of our family now, Phyllis.
Yes.
And so now, I look at Phyllis and I go, okay, who is Phyllis? You know, when the women that are coming into my store, like who is my focal person that I'm wanting to engage with in the store? And so there's just all those little things that I'm learning. I don't know.
It's crazy. When you can get so far into the weeds when it comes to starting a business, I find, especially with social media and all these gurus out there talking about business, it's endless. So that's really cool. I love, as I'm sure some of you listeners know, Josh, my brother, and I have started a lot of online businesses, all of them ending up in flames. But every single time we learn so much. And I love that you touched on people's support, because I've found in every blog, podcast, or YouTube channel, or whatever it might be that I've started, there's always been a good group of people that are there to follow and share and support you. And I think that's really cool. So for people who are wanting to start a blog or a YouTube channel, or maybe they want to start a business, like, don't be afraid to go and do that, because you're going to be surprised with your friends and family supporting you. And don't be nervous to share something that you just wrote on your blog, because no one's going to laugh at you. I've never had any negative comments or anything. And have you had any people talk negatively about your store?
No, not at all.
There you go.
I'm that's so true, Kurt. Like, just don't be afraid to put yourself out there. I think that's actually what gave me the courage to even start this was I wanted to start a blog, and I was so afraid to put anything on like just putting it out there. And I also thought that everybody and their dog is writing a blog, so what could I possibly see that's different from anybody else? And it was actually you, Curtis, that encouraged me to put it out there and to not be afraid to put it out there, and that there is always something that each person brings to the table that's that somebody else needs to hear. And so doing that, stepping out into like pushing the button on send and whatever and posting, that opened up my life. And so don't be afraid to post that thing that is just burning inside of you to write. And and that just kind of, it opened up something inside of me. And the next thing I know, I'm on this whole business thing that I was totally not expecting. So,
that's awesome. Well, it seems like it's been totally a fun ride. Totally a fun ride. All right. Well, let's jump on to another question then. Now that we've kind of covered the store a little bit. Now, this is an important question. Who's your favorite child? Like, you got to be honest here because this is my podcast, so you have to be honest with who's your favorite.
Well, child. Curtis, of course.
It's yes, you. Of course. It's settled, Curtis. Everybody. Josh, Simone, Danny, suck it. No, no, this is actually a funny question, but I wanted to ask it. Like, with like, how do you find that you go through seasons of like? I know it sounds really weird asking this question, but like, do you find that you go through seasons of like having a favorite child? Like, I know that every single one of us is loved equally, but like, have that ever happened where you're kind of like, you know what? Josh has been extra special kid this month. He's the kid of the month. Is that a thing in parenting?
Well, considering that Joshua was the first born child and that he was alone for 2 years, you know, I would have to say that he was, you know, the favorite for, you know, for the first 2 years of his life. So,
okay.
So yeah, I mean, I guess.
That doesn't count. I wasn't around yet, so that doesn't count. Just kidding. Okay. Anyways, that was a fun question. I had to ask. So now this question, I want to ask you a little bit about, your life mission, kind of like your goal, a big picture for what you have for your life and what you want to achieve and what kind of drives you. We were just talking about this upstairs in the kitchen, and my dad mentioned like, what's your why, which is a very common question nowadays. And I'm asking this question because I don't know what my like quote unquote life mission is yet and what I want to achieve in the big picture for myself. And so I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on your life mission and what kind of you've gathered so far in your life towards like what you're working for in the long run and what drives you forward.
You know, I think when I turned 30, there was this, it was a really weird year. I mean, everybody has that year that is weird. I'm going to be turning 50 soon, so I'm feeling like this is going to be another weird year. But yeah, something happened in my 30s where I was just trying to figure out who I was, what had I achieved in my life. I had 3 children, and I hadn't fully, I mean, yeah, I was a mom, but I really hadn't had the epiphany of who I was. And I was driving home. We were living in Kelowna, living in Fintry on this windy road. And I was driving home by myself from a conference I'd been at in Kelowna. And I stopped on the side of the road. I had to stop. And I felt like, you know, for me, I guess I consider myself a spiritual person. I believe that in that moment, God spoke to me and just grabbed my heart and said, you are a mom, and that this is your call. This is your place. And, it's time for you to embrace it fully. And I'd had, you know, I guess you kids would have been 7, 5, and 3 at that point or, thereabouts. And so I've been a mom for a while. So it was just like for me to just to stop and go, yeah, like it's time for me to embrace this fully and to not think that I need to be more than this or that this isn't enough. And, you know, I think as women, men, I'm sure go through it too, but there's always this sense of I'm not enough or I'm too much. And, And so you battle that your whole life. But in that moment, I sat there on the side of this windy road and I realized that I was doing the greatest thing that I would ever do with my life. And that was being a mom. And so now that I'm in the stage where my kids are grown up and they're independent, they're doing their own thing and they're embracing their own lives and homes and families, it's still a huge part of who I am. And so as a business owner and providing clothing for women, my heart is still as a mom. Mm-hmm. And so when women come into my store, I want them to experience just a few moments of peace and quiet and beauty and to leave with clothes that make them feel confident and good about themselves. And so not just to shop, but to have an experience and to feel, you know, a hug if they need a hug from me or just, you know, encouraging word. That's just who I am. And so, if I can make a business out of being a mom, then yeah,
yeah.
I kind of feel like that's still still in me. It's still my mission.
Yeah. So. Wow, that is, I think that's super powerful, and it's cool because I haven't heard you say that before. I never knew that you had that revelation, and you heard those words come from God, and it's cool that it lines up with what your four friends said about you. But hospitality, it's being hospitable, being a mother, it kind of goes hand in hand, I feel like. And I think that is really, really cool. And you've been an amazing mother. My 25 years, my whole life. So that's, I think that is really, really cool. So this kind of segue now going to our next question, I think works out perfectly, which is I wanted to ask you a little bit about, like, what is a core belief or a belief that you've had that is a big part of your life? What do you believe in? And I'd love to hear about that and kind of how you came to the conclusion that you truly believe in whatever that might be. Wow. For you.
I believe that we all have greatness, that we were born with this part of us that needs to experience just this fullness of life. And so we're always searching for that. We're always searching for what we can do to be awesome. That's why we love, you know, Marvel movies and why, you know, we're always searching for more. We're never satisfied, you know, with where we're at. And it's not a bad thing. I think we have to be, actually just learning this week, listening to someone speaking about this same topic, that you can be grateful for your life and be super thankful for where you are and content, but at the same time have a longing for more. So I think that is, it can be something that causes us to be frustrated and confused and think that our life isn't good and you know, it's not what I expected it to be. That's okay, because in order to know that you are alive and that there is more to do, you have to have that hunger and that desire for, and that longing for more. So I guess there's that. I believe that we were created for that. We were created for greatness, that and we were created to create. So I think that that longing, don't ignore it. Don't push it aside, because it will make you crazy. You have to embrace it and go, okay, what is it that I need to move forward? And stop and be thankful and go, okay, yeah, there are some really great things going on in my life right now, but why? What is this feeling that I need to do something else? And visit it and let it be a part of you. Don't ignore it, because people get sick. People get like physically ill because they are overwhelmed with life. It's not what they expected it to be. And so they keep on pushing forward into things that aren't giving them the answers that they need. And it's just, it can actually cause them to be overwhelmed emotionally and mentally. And
yeah.
So to not ignore that. And so I don't know if I really
said. No, that was awesome. Yeah, I think that was really, really awesome. I think a lot of people need to hear that. And like, I don't know if this will be a hard question, and feel free to completely like pass on, because you shared a lot about how you can kind of continue to pursue and moving forward in life. But like, what kind of brought you to that conclusion of like feeling this and believing it so passionately? Like, what was that moment, if you can remember, where you were like, yeah, this, everybody has greatness and I have greatness, and it started to become an actual belief for you?
You know, I think my husband and I have always been on this quest to know who we're supposed to be together as a couple. And when we had kids, it became that much more urgent. Like, you know, what are we going to be as a family unit? And in every season and stage of our life, we've always been wanting to be aware of our intentions and what we do with our lives and what we say to bring, you know, about positive things in our business, in our family. And so I think there isn't just one moment. There's been many moments where we've just chosen an intentional life. We've chosen to be intentional and not just, you know, let our days go by without, you know, assessing where we are and where we need to be. Not to say that we haven't had a lot of those days where, you know, we just, sometimes you just put your nose to the grindstone. You've got to pay the bills. You've got to, you know, you got to keep moving forward. And, you know, the lofty dreams that you have sometimes just seem like they're way far off in the distance. So you just put your nose down and you just do it. You just get her done. But that can only take you so far. And then you just, you need to revisit again. And so actually, you know, today we're going to spend some time going for lunch and just answering some questions. You know, what do we want to see in our lives over the next few years? What are our dreams? What are our hopes and for each other? Because, you know, we want to be super intentional about our relationship and awesome. Our future. So did I say anything just
then? Yeah, no, that's great. Right. I think that's so cool. And it leads into my next question as well. I, like, growing up, I've been very thankful to have you and Dad being kind of like a rock in my life and being a really good example of what love looks like and what good parenting looks like and what a good marriage looks like. And it's really obviously molded me into who I am and what my marriage is today. And I would love to hear, in your 30 years of marriage, which is funny because I thought it was like 27, that's why I said 25 plus, but 30 years of marriage, what is kind of like your best piece of relationship advice that you want to share? I'd love to hear that.
I know this sounds super cliche, but it's it kind of sums it up for me, is that you see them on like walls and people put them on their walls, live, laugh, love. Yeah. I don't know anyways. But seriously, like to live life intentionally where you are living a life that's always bringing you closer together, that no matter what you do in your business or what you do on your own, it's always intentionally going to draw you closer in your relationship to each other, not pulling it apart and taking that into perspective every decision that you make. Is this ultimately going to grow our relationship and bring us closer, or is it going to pull us, you know, farther apart or cause a distance between us? Or so to be living intentionally in your relationship and growing it constantly. You know, I think so many couples are afraid to, you know, go to therapy because they think that, you know, there's something, you can only go to therapy if there's something wrong with your marriage. But there's so many great resources out there for like marriage conferences and relationship conferences that you can go to when your marriage is healthy, that can give you tools to keep you healthy. So don't be afraid of that. So being intentional and living an intentional life and loving unconditionally, because your loved one, you know, whether it's your spouse or you know, that significant other, you are the only person that can give them all of that love that that they deserve.
Yeah.
You get to be that person that gives them that unconditional love and acceptance. And to take that so seriously and enjoy it. Like, don't take it as a burden, but as this incredible privilege to be the one person that gets to be you know, that person that accepts and loves unconditionally, completely. So, you know, so loving unconditionally and then laughing, absolutely laughing. Like, there's probably the one thing in our marriage that has sustained us over the years, because life brings so many hard things that you aren't expecting and that just come out of the blue. And so to be able to laugh, like you have to not take each other, take yourselves too seriously. You know, you have to be able to laugh. And so that has really been a key for us. So yeah, live, laugh, love. Yes, it's, that's.
Yeah. Wow, that is wonderful. And I think really, really important. And I know that that is something that I've seen from you guys and learned from you guys. And so thank you for really living that in your guys' marriage, because it's evident that it's there and that's what you guys follow. And yeah, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. Just looking at my list of questions here and where I want to go next. Mm-hmm. So you just gave your best relationship advice, which I really am happy you shared with us. Now, what would you say, I didn't put this on our list of things, but I want to ask it. What is your kind of advice for new parents or people in a relationship who's looking towards having kids about, like, what's your best piece of advice for raising children and being a parent? Because I am fascinated by parenting. I think it's the hardest thing you could ever do. I've seen so many people get raised in so many different ways and come out completely different. I've seen friends who, from my eyes, seem like they had the same style of parenting, and both of them come out completely different. And just like getting to know my in-laws and how they parent and see how you guys have parented us. And like, I'd love to hear, in your opinion, what has been something that has kind of helped you guys raise us, and yeah, your best parenting advice.
Live, laugh, love. No, I mean, parenting, it's so funny. You know, you decide that you absolutely have to have a child. You know, you just get to this point where you want to have a child, and then somewhere along the line, you know, you feel like you need to have another child, and then another one, and another one, and you forget, you know, what it was like just having one. And then, you know, anyways, you know, it's the most amazing, rewarding privilege in the universe to be able to care and raise and love a child. And I think we always raised you guys knowing that we only had you for a small period of time. And in the process of it, it feels like, will they ever grow out of this? Will they ever not be in diapers? Will, you know, they ever, you know, not be in school anymore? Like, it just seems like it takes forever. But all of a sudden, being on the other end of it, it just goes by in a blink. And so to be able to enjoy every moment. And I remember somebody watching me with you kids when you were little, and it was another mom that was going through a kind of a tough time in her marriage and in life. And she said, you know, Lisa, you enjoy your kids. And I just thought it was the most odd thing to hear, because I'm like, yeah, of course I enjoy my kids. But you know what? It isn't odd, because there are times that, you know, life does, like I was saying, life hits you hard. Things come in to your life, you know, whether it's financial hardships or things that hit your marriage, and you can get overwhelmed with life and take it out on your kids because they're in front of you and desperately needing you. And to not stop and go, okay, what is the reason for all of this if it isn't for our children? Hmm. You know, we're doing all of this for our kids. You know, okay, yeah, I'm, you know, under this absolute blanket of bills and stress and life, but I can stop right now and hold my baby, and I can love my child, and I can play with them on the floor, and nothing's going to stop me from doing that right now. Just taking time and enjoying those moments with your kids, because it's fleeting and it goes by so fast. Just enjoying your kids. And that sounds really super simple and it's not very helpful maybe, but no. I think in the moment it's just like,
I know, I think that's really perfect, because there's a pattern here that I'm seeing with your relationship and with your giftings and your superpower. Hospitality is, there's a lot of talk of being present and intentional. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so important. I'm just starting to scratch the surface about that, of like how important it is to be present with Shelby and with my friends, and not to be distracted in a world of so many distractions.
Yeah.
And like you said, bills and responsibility, it's so easy to miss out on really important moments with our kids. So yeah, being present and taking time to spend time with them and enjoy them and love on them. I think that is super important, and people need to be reminded of that. Yeah. I know I do, because it's so easy to be distracted about life and miss out on living and laughing and loving your spouse or your kids. So I think that is really awesome advice. So be present and enjoy your children. Yeah. I like that. Now I'm curious, this can be a short answer or a long answer, whatever you'd like. You homeschooled us kids for our education. Some of us decided to go to school for a little bit of time. Some of us didn't. But you've homeschooled us from the very beginning. And I would love to hear the conversation, what that would look like, or what it did look like, mind you, that you had with Dad when you decided to homeschool us kids. Like, was that a continual conversation? Was that an idea you had? And like, what was his response to you when you brought that up, if you can remember?
We were living in Fintry, British Columbia, which is like, if you have not been there, is this little delta that goes out into Lake Okanagan, and it's 45 minutes out of Kelowna, West Bank, and Vernon. So it's kind of like right in the middle of pretty much nowhere. And we were building a home. It was the first home that we had ever built. We'd never done that kind of a venture before. And we were doing it out in the middle of nowhere. And we had just started building in the spring. And now it's September. And you were 5 and Josh was 7. And it was time for you guys to get on the bus and drive on the bus 45 minutes down a windy road to get to your little elementary school. And we've got pictures of you guys lined up to go on the bus, and you're all excited to get on there and go. And so the bus took you, and I followed along in the car after you. And we got to the school, and that first week, both of you cried every day. And I cried every day, and I would come home and just be in a bucket of tears, because you guys were just so incredibly unhappy to be there. And it was just a crazy time. Like, we didn't have a house. We were living in a cabin, and it was, you know, this beautiful part of the world, an absolute amazing season, but it was absolutely terrifying because everything was so new.
Yeah.
And so it was new to you guys too, to be in this new school and to be far away from us. And I had a teacher come to me and say, "Mrs. Anderton, why can't you leave your children at school?" I was expecting her to say, "Why can't your children, you know, stay at school without crying?" But they're like, "Mrs. Anderton, why can't you leave your children at school?" And so I went home that night and told your dad what she said. And because your dad is fiercely protective of us, and I'm crying and you guys are crying. And so he is like just livid. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He wants to go to the school. Good thing the school was 45 minutes away, because he probably would have just like gone on a rampage through the school. But he was just, we were just like, what do we do? Like, what is our options here? And he's like, "You're homeschooling them." And we didn't know anybody that homeschooled. My sister had for a bit. She was the only one that I had known to homeschool. And he just was adamant, "This is what we're doing. We're pulling them out. That's it. We're pulling them out. You know, we're not taking them back there. That's nonsense. They're awful." You know, it was just like, it was so emotional and so traumatic. And but it was, we were on the same page. Like both of us knew this was it. This, we were in desperation mode. This was the answer. And so it was like a desperation and a confidence at the same time. It was like, you know, the words still ring in my ear. Mrs. Anderton, why won't you leave your children at school? And I was like, darn it. Yeah, I am not leaving my children at school. I am bringing them home. And that was it. Yeah. And yeah, the rest is history. It was just, that was the conversation. They're coming home. And so you guys came home and yeah, the rest is,
wow. It's interesting. That was such a big decision in all of our lives, because I feel like it really shaped us as a family. And I think that's why we are so close as a family. We are all, like, every sibling is best friends, and we've always been close. And so I think it's amazing hearing how that all came to be, because I know we would have been close regardless if we went to school or not, but we kind of were spoiled because we got your time 24/7. And there was, I'm going to butcher it, but there was some sort of quote that I heard, and it's like 80% or 90% of the time you spend with your parents is the time from like up until you graduate high school. And then after high school, it goes down like dramatically about the amount of time you get to spend with your family. And like, that's including while you're going to school for 8 hours a day. So we were really lucky to have you all of the time, and you always gave us attention, and we got to study whatever the heck we wanted. And I think that's really cool that the decision you guys made, it affects us forever. And I know now Shelby and I are, that homeschooling our kids is something that we definitely want to talk about and see where that leads us, whether that happens or not, I'm not sure. But it was cool that I got to hear that story, because I've never actually heard Dad's point of view on it. Now that I think about it, like, I didn't know that he did that and freaked out and went on his rampage. So that is very special. So, Mom, it sounds like you are I was going to say hospitalist. I like to make these terms, hospitalist, like counselorism. So you're a hospitalism. A teacher, a mother, a wife, a grandmother, a businesswoman, and I'm sure there's tons of other titles that you have. I really appreciate you coming on to the show today. I had so much fun, and I've learned a lot of things I never knew about our heritage as a family and about you. And I hope that you guys really enjoyed this episode as much as I did, because I think this is something that I will look back at for sure, and I'm excited to, in 20 years, come back and listen to this episode with you. I think it'll be something really special to be able to hear. If people want to follow you and your journey in business, where can they find you? I know you mentioned the Facebook page, Instagram. Is that kind of the main?
Yeah.
So Our Closet Langley on Facebook, and then Our Closet Boutique on Instagram. So go check them out. You'll get updates and stories and pictures about new clothing, and follow my mom and her journey there, and stay tuned for things to come. Is there any final words of encouragement that you'd like to leave our wonderful listeners? Any statement or quote or encouragement that you'd like to share?
Oh, wow. I just, you know what? Just be open to new adventures. And one of the biggest things that I'm learning right now is when you're afraid, do it scared. I think that's the same. Do it afraid. Just do it afraid. Don't stop because of the fear. Go through the fear and just do it afraid. And what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
And just try that crazy thing that you want to do. Don't give up on what you're passionate about. Find that thing and just do it afraid.
Do it afraid. I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I appreciate every single one of you. Thank you for once again lending me your ears, and I hope that you guys stay tuned for future episodes and future interviews. I would love it if you could go to the Curtis Anderton Show Facebook page and leave a comment on what you thought about this podcast episode. I'd love to hear your thoughts, maybe your favorite questions, things that really stood out to you, as well as I'd love it if you went and reached out to my mom on Instagram and liked her page and come to the store and buy some clothing. I think you will really enjoy it and really get to know my mom through shopping. So thank you guys so much once again for tuning in. Remember, you have what it takes. Have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you in the next episode.